Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
It's time once again to pop that 40.
And we are live, episode 105 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Woo, 105. What's number five, Matt? I thought you had it ready to go.
Go to the hospital.
105 the bounce.
105 the bounce. 105.1.
Yeah, I think so.
105.9.
105.9 jams. South Chicago.
There we go.
So we are live here in Royal Oak. I'm going to start off with myself because I never really start off with myself.
You never do.
You do it like every other week.
No, I don't.
Just as bad as that.
So I get the balls out in front of them.
Russian type, like Cold War
it's
era.
It's the Eugene Porter from Revolution Brewing out in Chicago.
Yeah, it's very Cold War-esque.
I picked it up and... I haven't drinking it yet. It's actually pretty good. I actually had it at the brewery when I was out there earlier this year. Delicious, good beer, solid, easy to drink.
Is it good in a can or is it better on draft?
I had it in a can while I was out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was at the brewery and they didn't have it on draft. And it was like, because there was IPA, 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 like 400 IPAs.
Oh, you mean the same thing as Half Acre. Oh, so you mean a hipster city like Chicago didn't gear, had way too many IPAs?
Well, it's IPAs in old style.
Also, don't forget, they also have the big thing? That huge cider bar over there where they have like 70 cider taps.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Because every bar I know has old style and shitty
that's
beer.
That's the thing to have in Chicago.
Not really. But
I was drinking old style a couple weeks ago.
I know. I think I was here. I was like, why are you
drinking
that?
That's just the flavor of urine in Chicago based on their water.
It's like Natty Bo.
It just goes from the urinals right into the kegs.
So, Dan, hi. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
You're a part-timer over here again.
I'm always you're right. Off. It's been like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
You can't say that shit anymore, can you?
Yeah, you're right, but I was whooping your ass.
Still here more often than Nick.
Still here more often. So, what are you drinking over there?
I got a PBR and I got a Black and Tan.
Black and Tan, man.
Yeah. You want one?
I'm going to drink one. Yes, yes. I'm not even like had to ask.
Well, I might
drink. That's a new logo.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen this logo before. It used to be like the gold and black logo. That's
good though. Been drinking.
We can put
since
it right
yesterday.
There. We're on camera. We understand.
Nice.
So it's delicious. We also have Rob.
Hey.
What are you doing down there?
I'm doing all right. Hey, good to be back. You know, had had my 1 year wedding anniversary last Friday.
Has it been a year already?
It has been a
year
already.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank
it doesn't
you.
Seem like it's been that long.
I know,
awesome.
I know. So we pretty much just kind of stayed around since we got married in Eastern Market. We pretty much just stayed around Eastern Market and hung out around there.
Did you eat the top of the cake?
The top of the cake was already gone before that.
Rob ate that like the next day. Come on.
You're supposed to like save the top of the cake for the 1 year, aren't
and
you?
Well, but just a slice, isn't it?
I thought it was the whole top.
We could have said that the problem is that during the summer we had a power outage where we were out for 4 days, and then the coming winter we were out for 7 days. So
it would have never
made it anyway. Yeah, that big windstorm where it knocked us out, we were out for a week. So It would have never made it through that.
It wouldn't have made it because it would have defrosted and you wouldn't have eaten it, or you would have eaten it.
I wouldn't let that go to waste. You
can't eat it. Let me just throw it in the garbage.
Well, hopefully with all that rocket fiber and Amazon coming, then upgrade the power grid up in Rosedale Park.
Rocket fiber can't even get out of News Center yet. I'm kind of egging them on right now.
I don't know. I just found out they have fiber at my apartment. So for not rocket fiber, but Google fi- or not Google fiber.
Wow.
Let's try that one more time. Comcast fiber.
Yeah.
Their Blast was their original high end cable, and now they have one more tier prior to.
So did the AT&T Uverse fiber just shit the bed then?
I don't think that was fiber.
It was fiber optic.
I thought that was like phone line.
That's DSL.
That'd be DSL.
Uverse was fiber optic.
No, they were
because they don't have the lines.
HSI.
Like real low end.
Yeah.
Huh? We'll have to figure that out.
Anyway,
go for it.
Yeah,
Matt. Oh, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that I am enjoying Drafting Table's Mean Vanilla Coffee Bean.
Ooh.
Over here, which is very tasty right now. So really
good. I don't think I've actually had a bad beer from Drafting Table. I've been there about a half dozen times. Yeah, they make really, really good beer over
there.
Solid.
They showed
up
the day before they opened.
Yeah.
They showed up to the show.
Well, that was great. They did that because they're just like, yeah, we don't want to like – they that was their de-stressor. Like, they're just like, let's relax. Let's have a few beers. Let's talk about beer, because they knew it was going to be a shit show after that. It was just as bad as Ascension's opening. Just, you know, when you have a grand opening, I just imagine what Eastern Market's doing right now as they open today.
Oh, yeah.
Even their little – silent
soft
opening on Wednesday, it was packed, but they also had the Detroit Divas show up, so like 40 women showed up just to drink beer.
Nice.
I'm kind of offended they never called me to ask me to taste any of their beer and name it.
They did mention that
because
too.
When Dean and I were there on Friday and walked in, they had mentioned there were a couple beers. There was an armadillo hopped beer that they had that they didn't have a name for, and they were mad they didn't have a name for it.
Yeah, none of their beers are named. They're just named by the style. So they have zero names right now.
All right. Well, you know what? I might have something to do.
Maybe you should have showed up on Wednesday.
Wednesday was a night.
Did you get a chance to actually see the other spaces of what they're doing?
Oh, I've been there a few times while they were opening.
Okay.
So I got on the roof. I got in the second floor story. I got on the bridge that's bricked out that goes from one part of the one building to the next building.
Right.
That used to have the crossover. So
yeah,
I've been there enough to see what they're going on and their plans. Because it was across the street, I would ride my bike and swing by every once in a while just to see what was going on.
Very hipsterish of you.
Right. Yeah, that was a very hipster thing.
Hopefully,
do you let them know by ringing your bell?
Ching ching
ring, ring, ring.
No, I do need to get, because it's starting to get dark early, I do need to get a light for my bike though, just so I can ride it at
night. Definitely.
When I was a kid, I had a bike and we lived on a dirt road, and my parents made me ride the bike with this giant yellow flag, and it was the biggest pain in the ass because it would get caught in the spokes, and then it would.
What are you drinking over there, Matt?
I'm about to finish this Corona. Nice. I don't know why, but I've been on a Corona kick as of late. I've even allowed myself to put lime in it, which usually I don't. But I'm staring down the barrel of a Catalina beer mixer.
All right.
Which I've left in my basement for a while, so hopefully it's kind of mellowed. And then also a VJP. I'm not very into the dark beers, so hopefully with them kind of just sitting for about a year, they'll bring back to...
Aged vanilla Java Porter.
AVJP. So we're just going to see where the night takes us. But I have a feeling it's going to take us pretty rough downriver, if you will.
Oh, I see.
So we do have a guest in studio today, making his debut on the Better on Draft show, Eddie over from River Rouge Brewing. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. You got a slew of beer in front of you, that's for sure. So what are you drinking, though? Let's start off with what you're drinking.
Well, I like to start my late afternoon, early evening out with a Russian Imperial barrel-aged stout.
That is the way
I like
to start
my early afternoon. That is too.
I usually brush my teeth.
That's how you two like to start your 95-degree summer beer fest.
Damn right.
That is true.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, just a 14%. Hey, guys, go easy. It's hot outside.
It's like, don't start drinking that. And what do I do immediately?
Well, yeah, I went to that, and then I went to, because we were at, it was at a Drafting Table. We started at Drafting Table. And then we went to Griffin Claw, and you guys had Flying Buffalo. And I'm like, you guys are stupid. Like,
don't do that. And I do it right away. That's right.
Yeah. I even told myself.
I have a fiance who does the exact same thing.
With our bootleg cups.
Our bootleg cups. It was a fun show. So you're drinking a Russian Imperial.
I'm drinking. It's our Red Gobbler. It's a 12.5% wild turkey bourbon barrel aged Russian stencil stout. So, yeah, it's
Stout?
Stencil stout. That's my last name, Stencil.
Oh,
I
gotcha.
Trademarked that. And I'm a stout guy. I love stouts, so why not?
I didn't know if Stencil was like an alternative version of a stout. Like, it's the outline of a stout. Like, it has just the malt enough backbone of a stout, and then it's
I'm working
flavor.
It. Yeah, it's. Sort of, I mean I'm working on that.
You trademarked it, so
yeah,
it's going to be.
It's
going to
be. Yeah, I mean.
So if the Stencil stout is like the new hotness, I mean. Too bad Bobby New England didn't trademark New England IPA, or else he'd be rolling in it.
He would be rolling in it, right? I mean, exactly. But so, no, this is a good start the evening out. I mean, you don't want to start slow. You want to jump right in.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Back in my day, I used to always start with an Irish car bomb.
Oh, that's a great way to start.
I would have beer, liquor, and Bailey's in my system at the same time. So
isn't Bailey's liquor?
That way,
is that like how you like you give yourself the virus in a vaccine so it helps you like fit, so like when the next shot of alcohol comes through, it's like, oh, you're fine. You're alcohol. Oh, you're beer.
Yeah,
oh,
it's kind of like the whole. There's that myth that, you know, beer before liquor, never been sicker, liquor before beer in the clear.
Yeah.
If you just shove them down your body at the same time.
Oh, you're fine.
You're kind of like.
Then you're sober. You're sober the whole time.
It's like the Mr. Burns death theory because he can't die because he has all the diseases all at once and none of them can get through the door. Yeah.
But one time I was at the lodge in Grand Rapids, which is right by Founders. And I said, we want to start with, you know, a strong shot. Let's get an Irish car bomb. And they said, well, what about a bear fight? And do you know what a bear fight is?
I do not know what a bear fight is.
A bear fight is an Irish car bomb that is immediately followed by a Jaeger bomb.
Oh, I'm in. That's easy.
I was going to say.
That is an $18 shot.
Easy?
That's very easy.
And a ride to the hospital.
But yeah, that's upper downer.
No, that's you're completely normal. It's like a cement mixer,
and not like the shot cement mixer. It's like just living in a cement mixer because you're trying to.
Cement mixers are always fun because nobody that I really knew could drink them fast enough. Therefore,
wasn't the premise of a cement mixer to find a noob and say, "Oh, you should try this chocolate."
And then you're supposed to hold it in your mouth,
and then you got it. You put in the lime or the Bailey's, and then you put it in the lime juice, and then you shake your mouth, and then you can't drink it because it curdles before you swallow.
You're such an ass.
Damn.
Isn't that how you guys did it?
Yes, but you're still an ass. So, Eddie, how did you when did you start River Rouge Brewing?
Well, we started the concept started probably in late 2013. I was out in, living out in California, in Southern California, in San Diego. And just decided that I needed to live in the same state with my wife, at some point because we'd been married, I think, for quite a long time. And business is always taking me from she's working here in Michigan, and I'm originally from Michigan, but I was out working in California, and I figured, I need to get in the same state with her. So why not start a brewery that keeps me there?
Yeah.
Good excuse.
Well, that'll do it. So are you a Michigan native? Or?
I am a Michigan native. Okay. I was born here. Born in downtown Highland Park. You know,
Detroit. Aren't you from Highland Park?
I lived there for a while. Okay. Yeah, I did live there.
I was like, I recall that in your life.
Yeah. I lived and worked there for a while. Yeah.
So River Rouge Brewing Company is actually in Royal Oak, Michigan.
It is. And that is because we just found River Rouge, the name comes from, it's a tribute to my father, my grandfather. My grandfather came over from, technically he was his passport was German, but he was Polish back then. Now it's where he's from is in Poland. But he came over to the U.S., actually U.S., then Canada, and then back to U.S. and settled in Detroit area and built his first home in River Rouge. Actually, the home is no longer there, sadly. It's where the football field is for River Rouge High School. That was taken over, I think, in the 50s or something like that when they bought him out and put the athletic field there. But anyways, River Rouge is it's a tribute to my family heritage. It's also a tribute to blue collar working America. That's what when people ask me, that's what River Rouge. It symbolizes a time when America was, everyone was working hard and good things were happening and River Rouge was booming.
Like the lunch pail mentality.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lunch pail ale. There you go.
There you go.
You can keep that one.
Nice. Thanks. But anyways, yeah, I do get a lot of people that come up from downriver, and the first thing they're like, why are you in Royal Oak? And I'm like, well, I found a location that worked for me. What I wanted to do, I wanted to start small. I didn't want to start a very large or medium size. I wanted a very small brewery, nano size. I wanted to do a lot of different types of beer, brew a lot. And I happen to live in Royal Oak, and this location here on 4th Street, 406 East 4th Street, became available. And I thought, well, let's give it a try there.
Now, you guys just did your first line of cans, right? The I-75?
Yeah, I-75 was it was our first can release. We're doing we have a hand canner from the guys from October Design, which I don't know if you guys heard about them, but they do some great stuff. In fact, one of the guys is from Royal Oak, but they're over on the west side of the state in Grand Haven, and they do a canning machine that does 16s, 12s, and 8s. And so far we've done – we've done the 16s. We do experiment a little with the 12s, and I do have the chuck to do the 8s, so I'm going to get to the 8s eventually too.
So what – you said I-75 is your first release. What is I-75 to you?
I-75, well, it's it's
a show on the – going south.
It is.
Depending on the
– and going north right now
right.
too.
Either way, like at River Rouge probably there's
– Well, no, it'd be closed about right there.
Yeah, it is closed.
It's
closed.
Well, part of it's closed. You can get north on it. You can't get south.
North. You can leave Ohio. You just can't go to Ohio.
Exactly.
You're trapped, yeah.
That's a public service announcement, by the way.
Yeah, I-75 is – it's our basil grapefruit IPA. And it's a
sure. I'll try some.
Yeah, definitely. Go for it. This is here. We get the. Ooh, yeah.
We need to have that as a drop.
Yeah, there you go. That's
a, what a nice, can opener. It's not a bad idea.
Is that good?
I'll finish
here's
later.
The can. Yeah, just take that.
Hello. Goodbye.
Visitor. There we go. What? Visitors.
We're going to come hijack your beer.
No.
This is a beer show. There'd be no beer removed. It's a sacred show. Sacred show of beer drinking.
Good idea.
You know, I feel.
Did you lock that?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Do you remember playing Mortal Kombat 1?
Yes.
Do you remember when smoke would just pop in when you're beating the ass somebody's
was
ass?
Smoke in Mortal Kombat 1?
Yeah, you would be beating somebody.
I thought he was in 2.
Oh, he'd be the one that would appear.
Yeah.
Like, Reptile was the secret one, too, that you could. Like,
yeah, I remember Reptile.
Sorry bringing up the
Dude, random. I thought
90s.
That was 3.
No. Smoke, he would just pop in off the screen. I think it was one of the Tiburon guys. Yeah. Then he would leave. I don't know what the hell that was. Sorry, if you're listening right now, we apologize for.
It's all right.
Whatever.
It's all good. You know, it's a, you know.
So you said basil grapefruit IPA.
Basil grapefruit IPA.
You have and, some more of that, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Here, pass that around.
Go for it.
I'm just throwing cups now.
It's actually our biggest selling beer right now. This is our people come in and order
this.
I'm
sure you want to shotgun this.
A shotgun, no, but actually, I'll take a small little pour.
It tastes a lot more rye than basil. I don't get a whole lot of. Herb notes.
Oh, you smell it, man.
Yeah.
You get the herb. The cool thing is about this.
I do like the smell of this.
You get the basil on the nose, and you get the grapefruit on the finish. And that's just we just experimented with it.
Oh, you definitely get that grapefruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you can smell the citrus in there, too, though. That was the first thing. Yeah. The first thing that I tasted when I had it. So that's the I-75 IPA.
IPA, yeah. And like I said, it's our biggest seller right now. People love it. We can't make enough of it. It works. And sadly, I have to – I guess it's not a sad thing, but it's a good thing. It wasn't my idea. It was actually my first assistant brewer's idea. He was like, hey, man, I want to do a basil grapefruit IPA. Can we do that? And I'm like –
like, is that a thing?
Yeah, that's the first question. Is that a wait?
I'm trying to think though.
No,
does basil and grapefruit ever grow near one another? Like, is there basil? I think of like the Mediterranean. I think of like the tropics with grapefruit. So it's not like they're neighbor.
You know peanut butter and jelly don't grow near each other, but it makes the greatest fucking sandwich in the world.
Where does jelly grow?
No.
Well,
I call shenanigans. I call shenanigans because peanuts are in Georgia, and peach jelly, grape jelly, strawberry jelly,
not
all
in Georgia,
southeast. Bam, lawyer.
I don't know.
Lawyer. Oh, wow. Thanks for breaking out a How I Met Your Mother reference there. Continue.
No, but Jake, he was my first assistant brewer, great guy, and it was his idea, and I'm like, okay, let's try it. And we tried it, and I think we premiered it at the fall 2015 Detroit Fall Beer Festival.
Wow.
We premiered it. Yeah. So it was over 2 years ago was when we first did it. And
so this will be your third Fall Beer Fest coming up next week?
It will be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we opened up in May, May 15th, 2015. And so this will be our third. Detroit was our first guild event that we did.
So do you think about maybe putting in variants and doing basil and pineapple or basil and tomato or basil and jalapeno?
Tomato?
I know. Basil and jalapeno.
I mean,
are
you trying to make a pizza
yeah.
beer?
Yeah.
There is a pizza beer.
There is a pizza
beer. Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to think
of
some
more $100 bill beer.
Oh, that big ass money, I think is what it's called from Evil Twin.
Yeah. Well, Jake, my former, he had some things that he ended up leaving, which was sad because we got along great and he was a very good assistant brewer. I think he's assistant brewing down at Traffic Jam and Snug.
Over in Detroit, okay.
I'm going to blank right here. You guys know the head brewer at Traffic Jam?
We have not met the head brewer at Traffic Jam.
Chelsea. There we go.
Jake Smith is his name?
Oh, no. He's the assistant brewer.
Cheers. We're just Facebook stalking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Anyways, he's a hell of a drummer, too. He played in quite a few bands, but he was a bit of an herbalist, if you know what I mean. And he,
herbal,
he,
yeah.
No, no. Never mind.
I mean,
so you didn't make any ganja brownie stouts?
No, but I'm actually, when that becomes legal, I would not be, you know, afraid of mixing that. I mean, once it becomes on the board.
It's got to be legal in probably the entire country because that's still federal ATF.
Right, because, I mean, there's – because
it's still federally illegal, which is why, like, Colorado, you don't see any beers. Like, the closest you're going to get is a hemp beer or maybe even – probably just a hemp beer. That's the closest
you're
going
to get. I mean, there was that one in Colorado. They took the THC out. But it still
sticky.
Had issues.
It's yeah, it was the stickiest of the icky.
Well, my thought is
still trying to get out.
We've heard so many stories about people putting peanut butter in beer, and
you can't put peanut butter in beer. You have to put peanuts.
Well, we've heard how it's so hard to clean, and because of its allergy.
I have a peanut butter beer here. You just mentioned that. I have PBX.
You don't put actual peanut butter in there. So,
well, I'm not going to get into my trade secrets, but I actually do use some real peanut butter. It's peanut butter syrup. I don't use a lot of it because you use too much of it and it'll spoil the beer. Yeah, the oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do use some because I just feel like it's cheating if you don't have something real peanuts in there.
Drill a hole in it. Bottle of Jif and just drop the bottle.
All right, crack that bad boy open. Let's try that.
Or you can do what do you call it? Because Sellerman's does the pasty beer, and they put the ketchup on the rim. So now with peanut butter porters, you just put like a little dab of peanut butter.
That's not
on
a bad
rim.
Idea.
Just so you know, that's a peanut butter espresso. So there's
even better. Pass that to Rob down there. He'll want that too.
It's espresso.
Dan knows.
Oh, I can smell. Wow.
There's a lot of espresso in there. And I don't know if I should reveal my secret, but why not? You know, here, this is the place to do it, right?
We only have a couple people listening.
A few people. That's okay.
Damn.
I can smell it from here.
I used. Ready? Ready for this? The espresso? Trader Joe's espresso.
That's not surprising.
And there's your C&D. There's your C&D. Bill Engvall, here's your sign.
Oh, my God. It smells like a shoe.
Oh, wow.
You don't even have to have a
cup. Can I just get drunk through my nose on this one?
I was going to say, it smells like somebody also just made like a peanut butter sandwich at this table. Like smell of like the open jar.
Making a sandwich.
I want to chase the little kids that are allergic to peanut butter right now.
You want to chase kids? Like, hey, guys.
This will be my red balloon. And I'll be Pennywise. I got peanut butter down here.
Here comes Matt.
Damn.
That actually begs the question. I was wondering, I was at the Master Brewers Association meeting yesterday, and they're talking about allergens and worried, you know, how you have to, like, put that on your cans and stuff.
Right.
And I'm wondering whether or not I need to put a sign on my and my brewery because you come
it
in there. If a bunch of people are drinking that, the whole I don't have a large tasting room, but it becomes pretty prevalent, the peanut butter smell in the whole brewery when like five or six people have a pint in front of them.
I mean, you only have like an occupancy of like 44 or so.
49 right? To be 49? Exact. Yeah.
Not bad.
I mean, this I like this because it's carbonated. Like a lot of peanut butter beers are too smooth. More like stouty. This doesn't hit me like a stout. This hits me like more like an amber or a red. It just gives me that
peanut
you know
butter
I mean?
Red.
That mouth.
No, no, I get what you're saying. Because I mean, I had a Jaden James
interested.
On Tuesday, and I mean the Jaden James. That like I said, I had that on Tuesday, and it's like you said, it's not there's not a lot of carbonation, and it's just smooth. And with this having the carbonation, it kind of
changes it.
It does. It does. It kind of changes it a little bit.
Because I don't like those beers that have that silky mouthfeel. I like the effervescence of beer. That's one of the things that the why I go IPAs versus stouts and porters is the tickle of the tongue, if you will.
Right. I mean, pretty much just from the aroma. The aroma just pretty much screams choosy moms, choose Jif.
Right. They do.
I mean,
I think Peter Pan would have, like...
Oh, Peter Pan, no.
Not in Rob's house.
Not in Rob's house. You use Jif in my house.
So what are some of the other beers that you have in your lineup at River Rouge that are really hitting it off right now?
I also have, believe it or not, I have two peanut butter beers. And that one, I have the peanut butter chocolate stencil stout, which is distinctly different than what you're drinking now. Mm-hmm. It has a chocolate, dark, bitter chocolate feel to it at the end versus this has an espresso finishing note. And that's very popular. I get people calling, I need to make more of that. That'll be at the fall beer festival next weekend, Detroit Fall Beer Festival. Is that correct, Ken?
The Detroit Fall Beer Fest, DFBF.
There you go.
It's 2017.
Next 2017. Week. Yes, next week.
Speaking of which, you have to come up with a little scavenger hunt.
You do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do.
That's nice. All you.
And then maybe we can get more than one person to actually do it.
Hey, you know what?
Because then Jen King, she walked away with all the beer.
She could raise someone from the show. So Matt will set it up, not tell us, and race. That's not a bad idea,
Eddie.
Little known fact, last year at the Fall Beer Festival, the peanut butter chocolate stencil stout was in the top five. They had some little app where people could go on and rate the beers.
Okay.
And it was, I think, number four. And it was funny because I didn't even know that they had that app that you could go on there on the guild and rate beers. And it was in the top 10. And I had people coming for the next 2 weeks wondering, what the heck is this beer?
Are you going to go drop glycol in the top three then just so you go to number one?
No. Oh. No, I don't do that. Come on.
Going to say, I'm curious what the top beers would have been, because I assume it would probably be like KBS one of them. And
your mom on French toast.
Yeah.
Starts the line for?
Dragon Beet Chili, one of the Dragon Beet Chilies, or
the Dragon's Milk Triple Mash.
There were so many different Dragon's Milk variations that were there that last year. It was crazy.
There's a lot.
So we're looking at your list right now. Obviously, we highlighted you guys for your Peanut Butter Express.
The one that we're drinking right now.
Yeah,
thank you.
So, we're excited to see that there. But there is one, and that is a moonshine that you're bringing. Is that what I saw? Oktoberfest with moonshine?
It's actually, you say it three times fast. Appletoberfest, Appletoberfest, Appletoberfest. It's tough to say, but it's from Motor City Gas. They're right across the street from us. In fact, we do a lot of things with Motor City Gas Distillery. It's been a great collaboration. I don't want to say partnership because we're not really partners, but we just do a lot together. Those guys, it's been a wonderful thing having them. They opened up in March of 2015. We opened up in May, and I constantly use their barrels. We have a thing where we switch barrels back and forth. I'll take one of their barrels, I'll age a beer in it, then they'll take it back. They'll age a whiskey in it, and then they'll give it back to me, and I'll put a beer in it, and it's a lot of fun. But the Appletoberfest is the applesauce moonshine that they do. It's about 19%. So it's not a big hitter. It's a moonshine. It's very light. It's almost like a liqueur.
The moonshine's not a big hitter. I thought you meant your beer is not a big hitter.
Oh no, that's actually we brought it last year too, and it's. I need to make more of it because it's always a big hit. In fact, I wanted to bring some tonight, but we ran out of it yesterday. I just have the one keg for the event left.
Oh, wow.
It's basically I guess I don't want to get crazy about the science behind it, but what we do is we age the beer in the moonshine. We kind of blend it in and let it sit. We don't use the barrels because they don't really have a lot of barrels of it. But it's sort of like an Oktoberfest that's aged in this moonshine.
So what's the percentage of beer to whiskey?
Oh, it's
90-10, 95-5.
Yeah, I would say like 97
to 3.
Yeah, it's just a little. It's just but because it's such a have you had the applesauce?
I have not had. I was told it would be here.
I'm sorry about that. That's my fault. Sorry, Ken. You know I'm always dropping the ball. I'll get on that. Yeah. I'll get that. But no, it's almost like their applesauce moonshine. It has a lot of cinnamon notes. It's almost like an apple pie. It tastes like an apple pie. So you get that with. I did bring some. Let's see. I did bring some of our Oktoberfest, which I think is. Oh, there it is. Which you know, you can get an idea. The Oktoberfest is really nice. When I crack that,
I knew it was a good time.
I think it's at some point we're going to have to finish these cans because
we will.
You don't have to worry.
Challenge accepted.
We've got an hour. We'll just start popping them while we're talking.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad. I just want to make sure it's one of those things. Never leave a beer behind.
Oh, we don't. Yeah. Especially me at the end when I'm just like, yeah, you got. I'll take it. I'll drink.
I just killed a fruit fly, so yeah, I want to.
Good, because it's been going around for the last 40 minutes.
Hey, that was Jeff Goldblum, by the way.
No, exactly.
It was a meaty son of a bitch.
That was Jeff Goldblum, and I heard him screaming, "Help me, help me." And you just.
Well, there it is.
There you have it. There you have it. There you go. That's a deep cut Jurassic Park quote.
Definitely.
Right there. So you've been open for 2.5 years now. You're coming up on your third Fall Beer Festival. Now, I saw you at the UP Fest. So you go to all four, correct?
I do. There's four of them. There's the winter, then there's the summer, then there's the UP, and then the fall.
Yep. But there's the spring one.
There is no spring one.
We'd like to have a spring
foiled one. Again.
It's all right.
There you go. By those four. Meddling kids.
It happens.
So which one as a brewer is your favorite to attend?
Wow. You know what's funny? It's been changing. I would have said initially, out of the gate, I like the winter. Initially out of the gate. The UP is wonderful just as a – because we're a small brewery. We're a nano brewery. We're working on a 3.5-barrel system. We're a small operation. So when we go to the UP – I drive up on Friday, set up Friday night. It's Saturday, drive back Sunday. Love it up there. It's just a pain in the ass.
But the tractors. Getting up there.
Yeah, I mean, the tractors. Hey, I missed the tractors this year. I just saw the end of it. I timed it nicely. It's beautiful up there. It's a great – to be honest, wow, maybe I shouldn't say this. Maybe I need to edit myself. But what the hell? I'm going to say it anyways because what controversy. Actually, my least favorite, I think now, is the summer. It's the biggest, but I like the winter. But if I'm going to have to rank them right now, the Detroit Fall Beer Festival, maybe it's I'm just getting lazy and it's convenient, but I really like it down in Eastern Market. It's a lot of fun. I'm a dark beer drinker. There's a lot of dark beers there. You're not freezing your butt off. In the Winter Beer Festival, I'm almost thinking
it's too cold.
Move it inside. I mean, okay, have some of it outside for those that really want to experience winter. But I don't have a problem drinking my beer inside in the winter.
You know what would be cool?
Most civilized people. Yeah.
So mind you, I haven't been inside, was that Fifth Third Park that's over there?
Yes.
So that's the baseball park, correct?
Yep. It is, yeah.
So I haven't been inside the actual physical park itself, but what I remember... And this is kind of takes the exact same way. It's the opposite, though. So the Warped Tour used to be at the Pontiac Silverdome every year, and it used to be hot. Like, every single Warped Tour had always been 105 degrees, sunny, no cover, no nothing. And that's at the Silverdome parking lot.
Yeah, but those kids don't wash either, so that's what really added up to it.
It wasn't a smell or anything. It was just so hot. It beat down the shit out of you.
That's summer in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, that's an Oakland County summer.
So when they moved it to Detroit and they moved it to Comerica's parking lot, what they did was they took all the bandstands and put them in the what is it? I want to say it's carousel, but it's not the carousel. The Concourse. There you go. Yeah, there you go. So they put all the bandstands in the concourse to where people could walk around the concourse and check out all. That would be awesome for a brewery, but the only problem is that it'd be a long walk to go from one brewery to the next if you're trying to hit.
No one's going to care. Think about the Summerfest, how big that is.
Yeah.
You're walking and walking and walking.
Yeah, that is a big spread out festival.
Even if you just found like an expo center, like Kobo or something.
Anything.
Like that.
No, you're right.
Suburban Showplace.
Suburban Showplace.
It's located like five different freeways.
Grand Rapids is a huge city. If you want to keep there, it's put it inside anywhere.
Well,
Ken can show up at the
Van Andel Arena.
There you go. Van Andel.
Yeah, didn't even think about that. Yeah.
They do have hockey in the wintertime, though, there, because they have those the Griffins.
Yeah.
Just find a weekend that they're out of town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You need 1 day or 2 days?
2 days. Yeah. They probably need three. Probably need like Friday.
The setup.
Yeah, the setup on.
Yeah, but they only play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So they're either out of town for that 4 days or in town for those 4 days.
Oh, really? I never even noticed
that.
Even
easier.
Yeah. It's kind of like AHL hockey is a lot like college basketball where they might have a week game. They have one, and then they're either on the road for four games. Or they're home for that four.
So it's kind of like almost like a set schedule in regards to like how the minor league baseball
team minor league hockey,
Shelby does. Well, I mean, Griffins is really the closest to.
Can I call shenanigans?
That's like the triple A.
Talking about beer? Because I didn't know where the beer came in this conversation.
But
we're talking about where we want to put the
triple A. They're the Mud Hens the Red Wings.
We want to take
over.
We're trying to
relate
to beer.
Yeah, we want to take over a stadium.
Okay, I was just wondering. Oh,
because I don't want to freeze my balls off at the Winter Beer Fest.
And Ken likes to show up without a coat. So
right, exactly.
You kind of do need it inside.
You know, well,
so
back to the Summer Beer Fest, the reason that I kind of notch it down, I was just in Denver last week for the GABF, the Great American Beer Festival, and I've been to it several times, and I've just come to the conclusion, me personally, it's too big. I think even the Summer Beer Fest here, which is great, I think there's a point where a beer fest can become too big, at least for me. I like a little bit – I think that's one of the nice things about the Detroit Fall Beer Festival. Mm-hmm. It's contained. It's not super big.
Well, they've been growing the last 3 years too.
Yeah,
like they started to move further and further into the sheds.
Yeah, they have, but it's still a small, compact –
Well,
nice.
Very true.
Yeah.
Compact is a very.
Well, I guess where do you draw the line? I mean, do you basically say, you know, when you have a beer fest, are you saying, okay, the first, we'll say first 50 breweries, that's it, that gets in there. It's like, I guess where is your perfect center?
There's no such thing in the beer community.
Yeah,
as a perfect center.
There isn't, but I think there's a point where it just becomes too much, where it just becomes overwhelming. I think I understand you want to be inclusive, and that's great that they are. I think there was 800 breweries serving at Great American.
They turned down a lot of breweries, too.
They did, yeah. I mean,
there's like obviously 10th and Blake only had two tents. Anheuser-Busch only had two. Oscar Blues got all three of their tents.
But I guess is it too big from a brewer standpoint or for an attendee standpoint? Like –
Well, I'm looking at it from an attendee standpoint. The brewer standpoint, I mean, the great thing about that event, and I think all beer events, is it gives you an opportunity to hang out with other people in the industry. In fact, I got a chance to hang out with Eric Koonin.
Were you participating in the glory hole?
What?
That's a callback to the last episode.
Okay,
Listen to John Pipe and Brock on episode 104, segment 3.
There was a glory hole at the Koonin tent where they would
the Michigan Brewers Guild tent.
Oh, excuse me,
the Brewers Guild tent.
Yeah, I was at a loss there. It's okay. No Eric and I were just enjoying some Denver. I should say not just Denver, Colorado. We went up to Fort Collins and we spent some time at Funkworks. I don't know if you guys ever had any Funkworks beers.
I have not.
No.
They are they're doing some amazing stuff. They specialize in Belgian style saisons, and it's funny in Colorado. I noticed a lot of breweries are like they're just like concentrating in one style of a beer and then doing variants on that style. And Funkworks is, I believe, they got bought out by partnered with Brooklyn. You can check on the internet on something like that. They did something. That's another trend that I found is happening currently, is that a lot of the intermediate-sized breweries are like teaming up together, partnering, and then going out as a package distributing, because it gives them more variety in different markets. And I think that's what we were told was going on with Funkworks. But their saison is amazing. It's probably one of the best saisons I've had in the U.S.
So it is a joint collaboration with Minority Stake between Brooklyn Brewing, 21st Amendment, and Funkworks.
Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah.
So yeah. I agree. I like the fact that, you know, there are ways for the smaller breweries to fight against these bigger breweries in regards to what a lot of these bigger breweries do that I personally don't like. I've always been pro-business. But there are times where you're pro business or anti competitor, and that's two different things in my eyes. You can be for the business, you can make business like decisions, you can make business like purchases, like Wicked Weed. But then there are things like anti competitor, and I think we brought it up last week, the whole Ohio ABV law that changed last year or the year before when Miller Coors wrote a letter to Kasich saying, you know, hey, we don't want you to do that because we want to promote.
Macrobrews.
Not macrobrews, but drinking without like overindulging because of the high ABVs, like sessionable drinking.
Right.
So, you know, that's things that I don't appreciate is when you put like those types
or
of regulations.
Buying all the hops in South Africa.
Again, we can go back to episode 100 to have that conversation that John and I have. I am not against what Budweiser did there. I am 100% for it in regards to protecting their product. But that is another topic. We can bring it up if you want to, but we do have to go take a quick break. What was that,
Wait,
Eddie?
So Budweiser bought all the hops in South Africa?
We'll talk about that.
I'll clarify it during the break, and we'll talk about it when we come back. If I find the actual right, don't stop streaming. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back live, episode 105, Better on Draft Podcast. Matt is Matt's trying to figure out how to lock the door.
Ken, did you forget to Ken forgot to turn things on again?
No, I didn't forget to turn things on. We're doing a completely different recording now. We're not live on the studio show anymore.
Thank God.
We are only live on Twitch.
Hi, Twitch.
Yeah, hey, Twitch.
I need to get in the chat room. Hold on.
There's no.
Well, Rob, why did you not remind me?
Chat room is clear.
I need to be in there right now.
Asshole.
It's clear.
There's no worries, except for, you know, the first. Apparently, the first time we were on Twitch.
Oh my god, I was on.
There was some apparently
all
some
of a sudden the some racist comments came flowing.
Let's just say there were some reasons for me to take a knee. But I mean,
I see
hell.
What you did there.
Yeah.
You know. Do you know how fervent Golden Tate is about those protests that he took a knee at the one?
I ain't even a Lions fan that was.
It does prove
that
point
one hurt.
Though.
That one hurt.
I'm not even a Lions fan and that was a touchdown. Shit.
It was a touchdown.
That was a touchdown.
Thanks, Matt.
That was
great.
So anyway, before the break we were talking about really the issue in regards to the South African hops, and while we were during the break, we were talking about distribution. Are you guys in distro yet for?
We are not. We are we're self distributing right now. We're under 1,000 barrels right now.
We should open up that Oktoberfest, by the way.
Oh yeah,
that sounds like a good idea because I'm sipping on PBR.
Yeah, this October's really
normal stuff.
Yeah, that's every day. That's every day bullshit.
Yeah, October's really good.
Just mix it with my peanut butter PBX.
No, we currently do self-distribution. In fact, I was delivering beer this afternoon. It's kind of a fun thing, you know, driving the van, loading beers in. As a brewer owner, it's always fun to go into businesses and deliver your beer because they have no idea that you're the brewer owner.
They just think you're some guy showing up.
Exactly, like whatever. Just,
you have a funky tap handle?
Yeah, we do have a funky tap handle. It's pretty cool. We had a company out of San Diego design it. It's pretty I got a picture somewhere, but yeah, it's just kind of got a see-through. It's got the dragon. We've kind of been playing around. We have our classic logo, and then we have a new logo that has a dragon. And people ask, well, what's with the dragon? I'm like,
you're not confused with another local Michigan brewery?
No, I just went with the dragon because I like dragons, man. You know, who doesn't
is
like
that,
dragons?
Is that what we're getting at?
I thought it was dragon's milk for a second.
Well, yeah, I thought that, but that's a beer.
Dragons,
like,
dragons are cool, man. I actually, yeah. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't know. We have an industrial feel from River Rouge, but, you know, dragons are industrial, aren't they?
Yeah, they're everything.
Sure.
They're awesome. Exactly. This Oktoberfest is great, by the way.
I'm trying to see if I can find a logo or a picture of the tap handle, but all your photos of your brewery is always, it's just a little black handle, so.
Yeah, no, I've got new ones on there. I got them in here somewhere. They're pretty cool. They're round. They're all wood. That's a company out of San Diego that made them for us, and they have. It's kind of cool. The sprocket is see through. Kind of give an illusion. I'll have to pull one up here.
So if you want to see it, you can head over to River Rouge Brewing.
Yeah, exactly. Grab a beer and check it out.
Fourth Street.
4th Street, yeah. 406 East 4th
Street.
Are
you guys pouring at Brown Iron Brew House in Washington Township, Michigan?
No, man. Where's that?
Well, it's just north of 26 Mile on Van Dyke.
It's in fucking never mind.
69 different tap handles.
Nice.
All craft beer, mostly Michigan. We'll give you contact for Angela. Get your beer up and done.
You got to be careful of the new trap where you can leave. You can go to Macomb County with that new 696 shutdown they're doing, but you can't come back. That's a trap. We send people to Macomb County. And
hey, you just
keep
sit there and
them
drink
there.
More beer.
Just stay there.
Take 8 Mile. Get more
no, just no. That's the way it should be. 696 crosses 75 and you can't come back.
Can't come back, no. Just go to Macomb, never come back.
No.
Yeah.
Macomb's going to have a giant increase of population. What happened? Well, we couldn't figure out how to get back.
No, stay there. If you want to go there, don't come back.
Well, that's what 59's for.
And 16.
No, don't.
And
16. No one goes that far north. What do you?
Literally
no,
every
don't
4 miles.
That far north.
So with always segment two, how do you like the Oktoberfest, by the way, Dan? You're
good.
You're liking
it? I'm drinking it. It's good.
I'm getting a lot of
salad. Yes,
it is very solid.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I'm getting a lot of like
I would crush this at an Oktoberfest.
I just smell peanut butter.
Day drunk on this for sure.
Day drunk.
I get malty. A lot of malty.
A lot of malty. Yeah, yeah. I am.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My description's better.
Oh, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
That's a really. Is that a standard Marzen or is that?
No, that's a standard Marzen recipe. It's funny because I used to brew. I started brewing professionally in San Diego at a small brewery like us called Intergalactic, and
Planetary.
Intergalactic. Yeah, exactly.
I knew awesome. I was just wondering who would say it first.
Yeah, it's
I just said it in my head.
They always used to get pissed because I always used to like play Beastie Boys and I play that and they'd be like, you know,
on loop.
It's too literal.
On loop.
It's too literal. And
it's not even the whole song. It's just the intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic, over and over and over.
Did you wear one of those safety suits the whole time too?
Yeah, exactly. It was a cool place. In fact, I have to say those guys, fantastic. Alex Van Horn, the head brewer and owner, is a good friend of mine and he's doing fantastic things there. And but anyways, I wanted to do when they were new, I started brewing with them when they were I think it was about a year and a half they'd been opened, and I started coming over there and saying, hey, can I brew over here? And they're like, go away. And eventually eventually I made my way in. I came up with this recipe for a Marzen to do an Oktoberfest, and I made it there. And then eventually I'd left and came to open up River Rouge. And then all of a sudden I hear they're like winning these awards with their Oktoberfest. And I'm like, where did they get that Oktoberfest recipe? And it was my Oktoberfest recipe, except they had switched the yeast on it and they switched to a different yeast strain, and actually the one you're drinking is the yeast strain that they're using because I switched to that one. I'm like, well, what yeast strain are you guys using? And I was using a classic German lager yeast strain, and they went to a hybrid yeast lager by White Labs. Let's see. I want to say Cry Havoc, something like that. Anyways, getting technical.
You can just make up a word.
I'm making up.
We'll agree with you. All right. Exactly. Yeah. Sure.
Anyways, it's a type of lager yeast that is similar to an ale yeast. It ferments quicker, so you don't have to take as long. Because my stuff was taking 6 weeks, and this stuff you can do in about 3.5-4 weeks. So it turns around better, and it actually works nicely with that recipe. And this is the first time I made it with that yeast, and Cry Havoc. That's it. Cry Havoc, yeah. And so it's nice malty. It's a good – it's a solid beer. I mean, I'm – as a brewer, as a brewery owner, I'm all about the beer. I mean, I like – I shouldn't say it. Like, I love beer. I've been a beer guy my whole life. Started collecting beer cans when I was a kid. I didn't realize that it was going to affect me to the point where I'd start brewing beer and selling beer and running a brewery, but it did. And I like good beer, and I try to make the best beer I can, and I love other people's beer. I mean, one of my favorite beers is – I have it right in front of me here. I had to run out and get it – is Alesmith Speedway Stout.
I love
it. I think that to me is it's almost like a religion. To me, the speedway
stuff. Yeah.
It's a religion. That's a good beer.
It's amazing.
It's like $9.
So, while we kind of move into the news a little bit, let's crack open at least one more beer because I finished that Oktoberfest.
Okay,
unless there's more.
Well, yeah, there.
What's,
no, the,
what's this one?
That's
what's
a, no. You should crack open to is the Pecan Porter because that's going to be
Pecan
on tap.
Porter.
Yeah,
it's got one of those names. What's the name of it?
Oh, it's we've only just pecan.
See, it's not on the can. It just says pecan. It just says
yeah, I didn't write it. We've only just pecan. Is the and I
what friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark.
I'm not afraid to name my beers. You know, whatever.
Matt, here you go.
Whatever they need to be named.
Threaten me with a good time.
Exactly.
I was gonna say this is the most dark beer I've ever seen Matt drink in my life.
You know what? I brought an Uber here, so you know I'm just.
You're just ready for a good time.
Just the hell with it. All right.
So as always with segment two, we have the news with Rob.
Hey. So I guess I didn't get a chance to catch up with what was going on with last week. I don't know if you guys went through the Michigan winners from the Great American Beer Fest. He's nodding his head yes, so I'm just completely skipping over that crap. So, you know, shout out to everybody who got a shout out last week.
Yeah, we talked about it and tied it into our 20 beers to try over at the Beer Fest this coming weekend, nice. Next weekend.
Okay.
Shout out to Matt coming up with names.
Shout out to Matt Bush.
Versus during five questions.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was drunken madness.
Yeah. So, obviously, we saw this one pop up this week, and I think it was actually kind of a bit of a last week about the Brewers Association trade group that is basically campaigning to purchase Anheuser-Busch InBev. They've decided to come out with this little campaign where they are crowdfunding, hoping to raise $213 billion through their website, takecraftback.com. Though they're actually not taking anyone's money right now. It basically, they're only taking the money if they actually get the $213 billion.
Say that again.
$213 billion.
All right. What's Bill Gates doing right now?
Right.
Oh, he ain't got that kind of money yet.
So as I saw it yesterday they were at about 2.5 million.
2.6.
They're at 2.6.
2.610.
So and basically they had this little stat that was
8,072 backers.
That basically it would take $653.37 per person in the United States.
So one mortgage per person.
Right. Or
you're a dick, people.
$28.78 per person in the world.
I think there's one word that describes this, and that's wacky.
Isn't Anheuser-Busch publicly traded?
It is.
There's
that's
no
how
they're
technically
going to
you would need 213
no
billion
sell
in shares
to take 51% of the shares to do that.
That's exactly where to get the valuation.
That's where they got the number. So it was funny. Like I laughed when I saw it, and
the commercial, which is
the commercial was well thought out.
What
sucks is that it ties the not taking yourself seriously to almost the point of a joke. And as much wacky. As it is, wacky is a good word for it. But at one point, you're like, I think they pushed it hard to make sure everyone realized it was a joke. But there are people like, you know, I'm looking at the billionaires, and it would actually take Gates, Buffett, Bezos, and Zuckerberg all their money to buy 50% of Anheuser-Busch. that's what it would be. Well, I mean,
which begs the question: why are they worried about craft beer then? If they're that big, come on, really?
Well, they still have a board to answer to. You know,
they want all the market share. They don't want some of it. They don't want 90%. They want 100%.
That's I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, we're talking about beer, and we kind of talked about it last week in regards to how much people make, or how much at least the third tier is making whenever you're selling a craft beer versus selling a regular beer. Obviously, the big names are pushing more product because all of their beer is sessionable. It's not just, you know, some beer. It's all of their beer is sessionable. All their beer can come in 40s and...
I'd drink it.
Well, of course you would, Dan. You know, speaking of which, I feel like there was not, like, you made DKML and Bombers. Why did you not just go for the 40s?
You know why?
No, true. Very
I actually
true.
Have a good reason.
Shit's
I
mean, a
now,
shelf
now, granted,
Arizona.
Now, granted, I mean, even just drinking the Bomber is enough for, you know, night for my ass.
It's, isn't it 12%?
It's 14%.
It's a shelf turd out where I live.
You know
people
what?
Aren't even
I actually I did some research, and it's because it wouldn't fit on the shelf at Zatuna Liquor in Rochester
Jesus
Hills.
Christ.
Just south of 59 on Rochester Road.
I was like, really? You did research? When did you do research
Bam.
About that? You got me.
Gotcha.
Wow. Well done. I didn't even catch that. Nicely done.
Wow. You can go check it out at Zatuna Liquor. I doubt they have DKML out there, but they always have a great selection.
If it's out there, they'd have it.
No, they had it, maybe. It might not be there anymore.
Well, you're too slow.
And they got the cooler of any IPA. So
yeah, and definitely. They just got a giant backwards display. So if you need something, go get it. They have probably two tastings every Friday. I thought I saw like a vodka.
Yeah, there's
a vodka
and pairing. I saw pairing up there.
Pairing, actually.
Pairing.
Pairing.
P-E-R-R-I-N-G.
Oh, is it really?
Facebook autocorrect. No, Facebook autocorrect.
No. Oh, pairing. Man. I see what you did there. I'm thinking there was another company called Pairing, and I'm like, whoa, really?
Nope, Facebook
C&D.
Autocorrect.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, so I feel like even if it was just like a brewery only release, like the 40, I think it would have been a pretty cool collectible to have itself.
Like a Billy beer.
A Billy beer.
What? A what?
I don't know.
Beer?
You're saying a lot of
I got
things
Billy
today.
Beer. I got the cans, yeah. Billy beer.
Billy beer.
Yeah.
It was the beer named after Carter's brother, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Jimmy
they
Carter's
made
brother
Billy. In the 70s, it was one of those old originals that
yeah,
would just end up
some.
On a shelf everywhere.
I literally have some of that.
No, I was turning you up.
I'm that old. I have
you
some of that.
I had a Billy beer, too, because I got it at like a garage sale in a state sale. I paid like $2 for a can of Billy beer. That was unopened.
Yeah, I have it, yeah. Sadly.
Billy Carter.
That is awesome.
R.I.P.
Yeah, Billy beer.
All righty. Next up, kind of saw this one show up today, that U.S. senators are kind of stepping up as far as a majority. They're looking at some legislation that they're supporting to reduce the excise tax on all brewers and exporters. So basically, what this Senate Bill 236, known as the Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act, what this is supposed to do is that this is going to change the federal excise tax from $7 a barrel to $3.50 a barrel on the first 60,000 barrels. And this, of course, is for domestic brewers making less than 2 million barrels annually. Those making up to 6 million barrels would go down from $18 to $16 per barrel, while any brewers making over 6 million would stay at – well, after the barrels after 6 million would stay at the rate – the current rate of $18 a barrel. This would also increase collaboration between, at least according to the Brewers Association, this would increase collaboration between brewers by removing restrictions on tax-free transfers of beer, repealing unnecessary inventory restrictions, and allowing expansions of breweries for packaging and storage facilities. The House is obviously on this as well. They have a majority. I think they said there's about 289 representatives in the House that are in favor of this as well. One of the in some of the media outlets, one of the reps from New Glarus had stated that this would basically provide relief from biweekly debt of over $100,000, which would result in additional hiring, bricks and mortar construction, environmental improvements, and economic stability for this growing business. I guess the question is there anything bad about this? I mean, does it seem too good to be true?
Well, you really honed in two breweries that you put out between the difference between Anheuser-Busch or Constellation or
Constellation isn't brewed in America. So
that's Constellation owns. I'd be curious what the
Modelo and Corona are brewed outside
Ballast
the US.
Point.
Well, you got Ballast Point. You got Labatt USA is owned by Constellation.
Brewed out in Canada. Brewed in Canada.
Labatt USA is brewed in Canada.
Most of the Labatt's brewed in Canada, I think.
No, they got New York. They got a couple breweries in the U.S. I can look it up, but you're really singling out two breweries between that 2 and 6 million mark.
Boston
and Yuengling.
Yeah,
and doing that like that really, you know, it's for someone like, you know, D&G or Jim Cook.
Jim Cook is a good guy, man.
He's
a busy dude, man. Come on.
He is.
Come on. Everyone's busy. He's a busy. He's a good guy, though.
We tried to get him when he was at the my email. So.
He was at the winter conference, and we tried to head up and talk to him, but we couldn't get in touch with him.
No, I actually drank beer with him, man.
Nice.
He was cool.
I guess my question, though, is I didn't know American brewed beer is so desired worldwide. Like, I guess I don't really see this affecting anything. I don't imagine I would go to Germany and find a Rebel IPA or go to Italy and drink Boss Lager.
I was in Helsinki, Finland a few years back, and I found Kunin's beer, I found Stone, and I found Alesmith all in this small bar in Helsinki, Finland.
Yeah, if you're going out of country, like when we had the Tokyo, the Japanese craft beer bar owner that we had on the show back when we were at the summer solstice last year, like Japan goes crazy for American beers, especially the IPAs.
The world goes crazy.
I think we should probably have ask Shannon this, you know?
As someone who actually goes overseas, I'm not exaggerating.
Sorry if I'm not all that classy.
Well, I'm not exaggerating when the rest of the world America really is the best in beer. It really is.
I agree.
And there's a reason why our beer.
I'm going to have to call you on that.
If you're going to talk about Belgian beers, you're going to talk about Central Europe.
Belgian beers are awesome. German beers are English beer.
Because as someone from the Netherlands who goes there constantly, the beer is shit, and there's a reason why there's so much American beer there.
No, American beer is good. It's just it's variety. It's different. It's one of those things that everyone always yearns for something that's different.
Generic triple, blah, blah, blah. But then every other bar I walk into, they have Heineken and then 10 American beers.
Exactly, because people want American beers because they can't. It's pure marketing. It's brainwashing.
Then why aren't you brewing in Belgium? Why aren't you in Brussels right now?
Because
he's from Royal Oak, Michigan.
Because
it's not about that, man. It's about doing what you're doing where you're doing it, man. It's not about that, man. It's about
as
doing
someone
something.
Who's regularly there, I politely disagree with you.
No, man. I let me tell you something. You're talking to someone that's traveled the world. I've been around this world many, many times.
And so have I.
And let me tell you something. People like things that are different, and American beer is different, and so they like that. But let me tell you something. That doesn't take away from the amazing beers that the English make, amazing beers that the Belgian make.
Let's
English Shark Mouths. Yeah, let's
kind of bring back, because I think what we're doing is that we're knocking down one beer to bring up another. I think
no, we're not. We're supporting them all.
Well, I agree, but I think in regards to the conversation, like I went to the Belgian Beer Fest over at Ashley's, which
saw you there, man. We were there. That was awesome.
Yeah,
I thought that was a badass event, man.
I've only been to that and the Cascale, and I love the Cascale Festival. I think the Cascale's festival is probably one of the
they're doing it right
most underrated festivals within the state itself.
Blake's number one, to be honest. Yes, I love going to Blake's because nobody Saturdays. Really hears about it. And Balakes.
Hey, do you want to try cast, man, to Toronto right now. This weekend, or as we speak, this weekend in Toronto, there's a cast beer festival going on.
Oh,
that's, I know. We should all be there.
3 hours.
Shame
that's
on
all
right. us
all. We can go right now.
Shame on us all.
I've done that drive at this time at night.
Let's go.
Road trip at midnight. Dan, you've done that drive.
How long do you think we'll be at the border?
Not long.
Who here hasn't been drinking?
Oh, yeah. Coming. Going in. It shouldn't be a problem.
How much is Uber from Windsor?
How much is
an
Uber?
And remember, it's Canadian dollars.
We're going to get the Uber, and it'll be Deadmau5 trying to pick us up in Toronto to come back. Like, oh, shit, what do we do?
Don't you have a set going? No, I'm the 4 a.m. start.
Nationality, they just turn their head. And they don't say anything at all.
I'm going to have to pay attention to the Cask Ale Festival for next year. I think we might have to make a little journey out there because that sounds really
Toronto?
Good.
It's amazing.
For a Cask Ale Festival like that?
Anything out
there. Yeah. Because, I mean, just the small one at Ashley's when they have, 20 to 30 taps, that's an amazing festival. Not that you need any more because you're not going to drink more than 30 different beers there.
You watch me.
could do it. Let me tell you something. Speaking of cask beers, last weekend, GABF Denver, I went to Hogshead, a brewery in Denver, and they are part of
– Wait, they didn't get a cease and desist from Dogfish Head?
No, they're Hogshead, man. Sorry.
Hogshead?
But I mean, Hogfish is a C&D worthy.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, they do real ales. Like, they work with Camera. You guys know Camera out of England, right?
Okay.
Campaign for Real Ales. And they do real ales. They do amazing beers there. And I think once it's cask beer out of a hand beer engine. I always call them
beer engines.
Yes.
The only way to drink beer, exactly. In my personal opinion.
I agree. In fact, that's one of the things. Eventually, in the next month or two, I'm working on that because I really love beer engines. I don't have one. I'm sad to say at a brewery, but I will be putting one in soon. And actually, the guys at Hogshead in Denver are going to help me with that because they work with a company out of England, and I think real ales are amazing. Beers that we should all be drinking.
I agree. I think there's not enough easily accept. Like, you go to all these beer bars, none of them have craft. Beer engines.
I can think of Dragon Mead has one, but they usually don't have anything hooked up to it.
Well, Koonin's has one. Koonin's
has one. Yes. Yeah. But if you look at Hopcat,
they're all nitro lines.
They got nitro lines. So you got
nitro actually was brought into existence to mimic. That's what it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So when you're using the beer engine, you have to kill that cask in 24 hours. You have to have something to put CO2 on top of it.
You
have to have one or the other. I'm thinking.
No, you can actually hook CO2 and put lightly CO2 on top of it and keep it for longer than 24 hours. It used to be that was the old way. Was actually 24, 48 hours.
To kill the cask.
But now they've developed a system where you can actually – you pump in small amounts of CO2
to take out the oxygen.
Exactly. To make that last a lot longer. So you can actually make it cost effective because that was the problem is that the beer would
Are you watching sports right now? What was
He is watching
Astros Yankees.
Who's winning,
he's
by the
got
way?
The, like it's the little nothing, ESPN nothing. Box score.
Oh, for God's
that'll
sake.
Show like the Come fake on. Ball, like how I'm far it goes, right. And you're watching I'm it like, is it going to do it?
I thought maybe it was Tourette's or something.
No, my Tourette's comes out vocally.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Well, we knew that. Yeah, that's for sure. So kind of rolling back to the Senate hearing in regards to the CBM TRA.
Let's go back to that. Is that really a priority of anything government-wise now?
Considering you have a majority in the Senate and the House, I would figure that this is probably going to
– This is going to pass that. You got 51 senators that co-sponsored the bill, so that's not even
you still need nine more.
This isn't
going to
be CNN next week.
Does it need the 60? I thought it needed
the
51
Senate,
to pass.
You need 60.
Yeah, unless they do – I forget what –
Unless it's a reconciliation or a budgetary bill.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. I learned something new today.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's why nothing's passing. They have 52 Republican senators right now.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, it's Obama's fault. I agree.
All right, let's.
It seems sensible, the whole thing.
Matt's all excited. Oh, it's
wait,
all
you actually made a real comment. Yeah, no, you're right. It does make sense to drop the tax on.
Yeah,
that.
It seems like a good thing. I mean, for me as a brewery owner, I mean, it'll help a little. I mean, but the big boys are going to benefit from that, and good for them.
Well, they're not. The tax isn't going to drop for anything over 6 million barrels.
Well, when I say big boys, I don't mean like...
You're talking Founders, Bell's...
Yeah, the smaller ones. Yeah, the smaller big boys.
Gotcha.
Not the InBev. Yeah, no, I'm talking about the microbreweries that are, you know, the AleSmiths, the...
GLBC.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, that's half for some. Yeah, at least for some of the smaller ones.
It's a good thing. I mean,
you got like if you talk about $100,000 a week from New Glarus that they're going to be, you know, saving that's $5.2 million. That's a decent chunk to do something with
biweekly.
Oh, biweekly. Okay, $2.6 million.
So
that's but jet
maybe
fuel.
Maybe they can come up with something better than that spotted cow garbage.
I do not like spotted cow.
Wow, way to throw it out. I was going to say that's good savings for their jet fuel for their private jet. You know?
There you go.
Do they have a private jet?
I'm not sure.
Everyone's got a PJ these
come
days.
Come on, those guys got to have
come
a private
Ken,
jet.
You don't?
No, I don't even have my car still, and it's been 2 months.
Oh, my God.
He's got a zip line from the top of his building to every other building in downtown Detroit.
Yeah. Let's take it from the 23rd story. Where do I want to go today? I want to go to let's go to the new center building.
Yeah.
It's like 2 miles away, all the way down to West Grand Boulevard. There you go. So we're going to take a quick break, kind of reset, open up some more beers. We got too many beers still unopened there.
Yes.
Mr. Stencil.
Yes, please. Open up more beers.
We will be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back, episode 105 of the Better on Draft Podcast. My name is Ken. We are still sitting here with Eddie of River Rouge Brewing.
Yo.
That Russian Imperial, wow, that's really
it's
good.
I am enjoying the ever-loving shit out of this thing. This is amazing.
What's the ABV on that?
It's 12.5%.
Oh, fuck you.
It's right in the right. Right in the right.
That is so dangerous.
It is dangerous. It's
well, obviously,
it's
I can tell why you put it in an 8 ounce or an 8 or a 12 ounce can.
It's in 12 ounces, but I need to put it in 8 ounces.
Soon
ounce
to
cans.
Be in 40s.
It's soon to be soon in 40s.
Yeah, 40s. Soon to be in IVs.
Speaking of which, Dan, just so you know, Sellerman's is bringing a malt liquor to the festival on Friday.
Oh, man.
I can't wait.
Imperial Thrasher.
I just won't leave.
I have to give you the keys to my apartment, aren't I?
Sellerman's, do you guys go to their second anniversary?
I didn't. I went to their first last year. Jesus, I missed this year.
I went to the second. It was wonderful. Those guys are killing it. I think they do amazing stuff.
You know what's great is that not only do they kill it, but they support everyone around them, too. Like I have Ian on Facebook, and like I see them, and like I saw photos of them over at Livernois Tap. I saw them over at Eastern Market Brewing during After Dark. I saw like and they're always for some reason they're also always at the brewery. Like it's hard to be everywhere at once, but they do it. They do it well, and they do it right. I think is a great.
I
way
totally
to put
agree.
It.
That's why. I was like, I need to be there. I went there. I worked that day, and I got there about 10:45. They were open till midnight, and I crushed it until midnight.
I've only had one drink there that I didn't like, and it's because it was a really dry cider.
Was that one with like flowers, or maybe I'm thinking?
No, I think you're thinking of.
Like, I'm probably thinking a long time ago.
So this was the Handsome Dan, I believe, is the.
Yeah,
the
that's
one that I
not
didn't.
What I'm thinking of.
The beet mead is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
the beet mead is definitely like they do a good job, man. They're doing good stuff.
So, you know, I want to talk about it just because I'm really excited personally. But North Center Brewing is going to be doing really, really good stuff soon, specifically in alt beer.
Soon,
so they weren't doing good stuff before.
they were doing really good stuff. Now they're going to be doing really, really good stuff.
So compared to the, so you haven't tried their alt yet, but compared to the Maple Brown, how is their alt beer?
Well, I know the person who's going to be brewing the alt beer. Therefore, it's going to be amazing.
I don't know because you've never brewed before.
Never brewed. Well, that's why I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be hanging out with their brewer.
Especially commercially.
I'm going to say, don't they have
we're doing a pilot batch.
They have a barrel-aged coconut brown coming out, too.
They do have the barrel-aged coconut brown, which I'm really excited for.
Other type of brown. Why are they not doing a maple brown? Who do we have to talk to get that damn beer back?
I'll go email Kevin and be like, hey.
We really need to talk to somebody. And what was the blueberry one?
See, nice bloobs.
Do we have to, who do we have to talk to?
Nice bloobs.
Nice bloobs. Hey, by the way, blueberry. I have a blueberry beer here.
Throw that. Open it.
You're my sour blue.
Their original name for their blueberry beer was You're My Boy.
Well, this is You're My Sour Blue.
I gotcha.
I thought outside the box. It is a sour.
You immediately thought inside the box.
Inbox. It's all good.
Right.
By the way, the brewery you're talking about, where's this brewery at?
It's on North Center Road, just south of Baseline in Northville, Michigan.
North Center Brewery is on North Center Road?
Yes.
Are they new? How long have they been open?
They've been open for
4 years.
Almost 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've been around a while.
Really?
Yeah. They were on episode 2.
I don't think they're in the guild, are they not?
They open. Yeah, they are. They'll be at the festival.
Wow.
They open March, April, or May, one of those 3 months of 2015.
Yeah, wow. Quarter of the year, like 5 years ago.
So, no, that's 15. That would be 2.5 years.
Yeah, their first festival, I believe, was the 2015 Fall Beer Fest, just like
nice.
You guys.
Yeah, nice. Okay, I need to check them out. Sounds good.
Go check them out.
They are great.
We're ready for it.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Oh, my God, the color.
It looks like 4 Loko.
Is this 4 Loko?
No, this is You're My Sour Blue, and it's pretty awesome.
I deal with so many 4 Loko jokes.
Rob, are you up for this?
I'm up for it because it's not 4 Loko.
It's 4 Loko Red. It's Red Pop.
So as we are
I'm scared to drink this.
What were you
going
to say, Eddie?
No, I'm good, man. I was just waiting for you to say something.
All right. So as always with segment 3, we have 5 questions. Eddie, you need to help us out because
I'm up for
Matt's going to ask us a bunch of questions, and we need to answer them.
Yep.
I have a feeling Ken's going to know the answer to the first question. Do you need some sour, too?
16. I already got some.
Okay. No. So I was watching it this morning. It's almost like a documentary.
I in this documentary?
No.
Okay. Because I am in a documentary on Hulu.
Yes.
So, wait, what? Hold on. What?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, it was funny. It's called A Gamer's Life. I actually got a message from Charlie, my buddy. He's like, so I just watch A Gamer's Life. Do I owe you like a nickel or something? No, that was WCG Ultimate Gamer. So I am on the first episode of that. But this was a documentary. So I was interviewed. I called out pro gaming, and then pro gaming exploded. So I look like a complete moron on this documentary.
I'll have to watch this. All right, let's go back to Matt.
Wanting to be a pro gamer is fucking stupid. That's the quote of me. And then like, oh, by the way, here's this $1 million contest now, and here's this $1 million. Here's Counter Strike Go.
Here's League of Legends. They're like $20 million.
And here's me trying to be a pro podcaster.
He's trying to make up for it.
I'd mute you, but you're on question one.
He's trying to make up for it.
Matt with the comment of the night, right?
Damn.
Go on, Matt.
So this famous Western State Elementary School's mascot is the cow.
Oh, South Park.
Yes. South Park Elementary.
Oh, wait, this isn't a real thing?
Yeah.
No, South Park Elementary.
Is Colorado West, really?
It's a Western state.
West of us.
Okay.
What would you call it?
Two time zones over.
Everything east of St. Louis is west.
There you go.
Well, you're true. West you are right because that's when it changes from K to W. You are right.
Yeah, Midwest. Right. I mean, we should be the Middle East, just like Brick Tamlin said. So I did some Googling. Bestproducts.com put out a list of the 13 best beers.
Sounds like a legit site.
Okay, well, 13 best fall beers in 2017. 3 Michigan beers made the list.
Fall beers 2017.
Was won by Shorts.
Negative.
I was going to say, I don't know any
fall
Founders beers.
Then?
So, I mean, just What do you guys think are the best, you know, fall beers that are made in Michigan?
What's a There's big three
Appletoberfest?
Like Appletoberfest. You know what? They must have missed it. Must have got cut
they
off.
They didn't know us. We're too small.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of fall beers in the state that
pumpkin.
Are...
Actually, wait a second. Koonin's so like, pumpkin ale all right, so is pretty
it's,
badass.
It's not it, well, well, yeah, no, but this Koonin's has got to be
pumpkin
big.
Ale is really good.
It seems like something that would have to be
13 delicious beers for fall. Number one is a Michigan beer.
Is it
number
Bell's?
Two is Harpoon Flannel Friday. Number three is Blue Moon pumpkin wheat, which so it doesn't count.
Ooh.
Four is Hazel's Rogue Hazelnut Brown.
Yeah, that's a delicious beer.
Five is a Michigan. Six is Michigan. Seven is Ballast Point Dead Ringer. Eight is El Segundo.
That's the thing, though, is that Michigan isn't known for their fall beers. Like the seasonal.
Anchor Porter.
Yeah.
Autumn Maple by the brewery.
Like fall beers that I would say, because like Bell's Best would be a fall beer to me. Is that one
ding,
of
ding,
them?
Ding.
Oh my
Bell's
God.
Bell's Best Brown is
Bell's
number
Best
one on the list.
Brown.
It's wow. a delicious beer.
It
don't
is,
get me wrong.
It is a delicious beer.
Number one on the list. Bell's Best Brown.
I'd rather have the Bel Air Brown.
The Bel Air Brown's good, but the Bel's Best better. Is a fall seasonal.
Is yeah. it? I,
number
yeah. Wait. Okay.
Bel Air Brown's
number,
good.
I didn't know that. Song.
Number
yeah.
six is one also one of your favorites from a large.
Oh shit!
Michigan brewery,
a large Michigan brewery.
Like
that's one
Founders
of my favorites.
Large.
Would yes. that be?
I mean, what would have been like?
Oh,
fall.
Backwoods is a fall beer,
right? I mean,
what's your favorite beer from Founders?
Favorite beer, Sumatra Brown.
Bam, number seven.
That's fall.
That's not fall.
That's
I was
not
say,
fall
that's not
at
a
all.
Fall
that came
beer.
Out in June.
I'm just reading you the list. I'm the question master, not the question writer.
You're Alex Trebek. You just write.
The last one is Charlie Pumpkin Bam Noir Dark Farmhouse Ale.
I don't think I've had
Bam
Noir.
Yeah. So Jolly Pumpkin gets the Shyamalan ban from me.
Go ahead and everybody, there's a growler in front. Go ahead.
So we're going to have to pour this, Dan, if you don't mind, because you're closest.
Yep.
And it's
are those?
Those are the cups for it, yes. Go ahead and
so while Dan's pouring this, you're going to go over the...
Yes, so this is a Michigan beer.
Can I not tell where this is from, looking at the...
It's not from there.
It's down. Sure as shit not from falling down.
I said that then very I nice. Turned it around.
So, on Beer Advocate is the only site you can't use. It is a 3.75 out of 5. It is a 6.4% ABV.
Better than a 5 out of 7.
The most recent entry into Beer Advocate states, I need some like central music for this portion, but if you going forward.
Okay.
Beat 02, I believe, is on there.
All right.
You bought a whole growler of this?
It was only $13. So, all right. So it starts white head, clear, golden color.
To hear?
Floral, earthy, and fruity.
To hear white head? Did we win?
Grapefruit citrus. Bready malts, wheat, yeast, wheat zest.
There is absolutely.
I thought it was supposed to be reminiscent of a New England IPA, but I don't see it.
If there was supposed to be any sensuality in any of that, I honestly don't know how you're getting married.
Well, Robert, I just don't have your smoothness.
That's right, you don't.
I have no idea.
So, like, I can get, obviously, like, I can smell the floral. I can smell the bitterness yeah. from it. It's definitely a little more juicier than I expected from the smell. Not very...
I thought this was supposed to be reminiscent of a New England IPA, but I don't see it. I'm going more for the Aziz Ansari, Jimmy Fallon, bad Yelp reviews than I am going for Pillow Talk.
I see. Pillow Talk.
Reminiscent of a New England IPA, but I don't see it.
It tastes refreshing to me.
Yeah, it's very crisp. Like yeah. for a second when it was poured, right. I thought it was a lager or a Kolsch.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's good stuff.
I mean, if it was supposed to be a New England IPA, for some reason the first thing that I'm thinking of is Petoskey's Juicy.
This is definitely not hazy enough to be a Juicy.
No.
No, it's good stuff.
All right, so... Yeah. So we have three questions as a collective to find out what this beer is.
Yeah, I don't know where I start.
I mean, it's obviously we are talking just Michigan, right? So I mean, basically, I mean, do we go east west or do we go like north south of Flint? I mean,
like I so I mean I could bring up the list of New England IPAs that I have on my.
I actually didn't bring a New England IPA. I have one, but I didn't bring it.
I'm glad you didn't bring it.
Everybody's got one.
Exactly. I've actually had one for a long time, but, you know, it's so the end thing these days.
Yeah.
But, hey, by
so
the
just
way,
like barrel aged.
By the way, totally changing the subject. Okay. You guys had the You're My Sour Blue. What did you guys think? Anyone?
This is. It doesn't taste sour, though.
It's
reminiscent, but it's not sour pucker.
It's a kettle sour. It's not super sour. No.
Yeah, I mean, I would just drink this unknowing.
It's
what it
a,
is
it's a bit more sour for me, because my thing is that I've never really gotten too much into sours. I mean, if it's on the level of something like Green Zebra. Or there's,
glad I didn't buy Green Zebra tonight.
Or like La Folie.
I think then, I would have gotten Green Zebra right away.
That shit's delicious.
I beat.
Wow, nice tunes.
There we go. I went to the next one.
Like, what did he do? You like just cranked up the.
And I was like, I don't know what I did. I didn't touch anything.
Like, turn my headphones up. Oh, why'd you drop the beat?
Thank so you. We have a beer in front of you.
Yeah,
the beer, the falling down. It's not falling.
God
down.
No, it's not falling down.
No, what's
I just found the growler here.
Yeah, you just
because my growler was left here last week. Okay. I had a Wilson growler.
So don't it's be not falling down.
Yeah,
Christ, no.
Yeah, don't.
So we know it's not falling down.
I wouldn't drink that beer if you paid me.
Don't let any
falling down. I wouldn't either.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
Don't let the smooth label fool you.
Don't look at the chalkboard.
Sorry, I was fooled by the chalkboard.
Yeah.
I have absolutely. So let's at least go, because I mean the New England IPA. God, it's so crisp though that it's got to be called like a New England, but it's not a New England.
It's almost like
style.
Pale. It's almost
colon
like
American pale wheat ale.
I was gonna say pale.
Say colon.
Well, I'm reading the stats off Beer Advocate. So yes, it's a colon ale.
It's a colon ale.
It's a
wow.
It's
a colon. Checking a colon wow. Ale.
How long did it stay in the colon before it was actually
3.5 minutes before expulsion?
That's what. Okay.
It evacuated faster than Irma victims.
I'm clearly the oldest person here. Jeez. Please don't say colon. It definitely makes me
Powell.
Oh, pucker.
Right. We're like the next oldest. So yeah, that's you know. Colonoscopy is like just knocking on the door for me.
So I'm curious, how old are you now that you're making that comment?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty old.
And he's 48.
No, I'm not. I'm actually 53.
No, there you go. Well,
yeah, I'm an old dude.
I was going to say, Dan, remember when you were 53?
Yeah, no, I'm the oldest.
Yeah, that was the 90s, wasn't it?
I'm clearly the oldest person.
So this was this was only added to Beer Advocate on 9/1/2017. So this is a relative.
She's on 9/11/2001. Right. We got
so this is 9/1/2017.
I would definitely say to me, it's definitely a pale.
So it's not going to be your juicy. It's not. Wow.
It's a pale.
So let's at least get some geography down.
Got
east
it.
Or west of 69.
West
of 69. So we got the west side of the state. We got KZU, Grand Rapids, Traverse City. Removes basically. Michigan,
wait, could it
Detroit.
Be that one that brewery in that basement? You've been to
the basement. That's actually east of 69.
Whoa, never mind.
This is a distributed beer.
Michigan Brewing Works is what you're thinking of.
Ellison?
That's still east of 69.
69 yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's under the 69.
Yeah, so it's not going to be. Like, I'm very good at geography with all this driving that I do now.
This might be the first time that I've actually finished the cup.
There's plenty of left.
So, oh, yeah. No,
I was going to say, yeah, I'm going to want some more.
So 69 is a weird
thing. Good stuff.
So anything.
Like we're side. Making like an imaginary line.
It's like left
69 goes like this.
West
like,
of it's Battle
really,
Creek.
It's really a sharp West cut Creek, across the state. So you're talking about that whole
Lansing, like north of Lansing and then south and then west.
So
of
you're
Battle
talking
Creek.
Anywhere from northern Michigan from Lake Huron all the way across. It could be any.
Yeah, but I mean,
so
you're still getting like
you still got those that brewing out. Oh,
so he's probably
Alpino wouldn't hit it.
Ken's trying to get rid of the Metro Detroit
wouldn't.
Breweries.
By the way, this isn't the growler that you spilled in your trunk, is it?
Because 69 ends at
So when we state 69, and I think Matt understands this exact line, that like the north-south version of 69 where it actually physically goes north-south.
It actually never really goes north-south. 23 goes north-south. 69 kind of does the little S thing.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was a little... All right. No, that's fine.
This is a Western Michigan beer. How about that?
I'm putting up really obscure breweries, but like 69 ends at like Lake Huron at some point.
But it really can't be obscure because you got a growler of it.
Well, I'm talking about breweries. Like, we're talking, like, what I'm.
Okay.
No, okay. We're good. That makes more sense.
We are West Michigan made beer.
West Michigan made beer. Maybe Saugatuck?
No, it's not Saugatuck.
Maybe Transient?
No.
No, he said it was $13 for the growler.
Oh, Transient. Okay, no. I didn't hear that
part.
How
much would they be? Like $7?
Transient?
How long have they been around?
No.
Like 70, maybe?
This is a yes or no
for
question.
Beer?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Have they been around longer than 2 years?
Oh, that's...
Yes, they have been.
Okay.
So this is an older brewery?
Oh, okay.
So we got a... We got,
I would say very much more than...
Very much more. Okay, so we got a little more of a hint. Shit.
So you realize 69 does that little loopy thing. Well, you're
yeah,
you're
so like I'm 16, like 69 and 27,
yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Like 69, 27. When I say is it East or West is 69.
It should be East or West 27.
Okay, so my answer is it East or West of 27?
It is. It is West
yes,
of 27.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for that answer. Do you like your beer cold or warm?
Yes.
I like my beer. All right.
Do you drive the car or ride in the car? Yes.
So we have an old brewery west of 69.
Does Bell's make a... What's Bell's? Oh, wait. We got it on the nose. So... Bell, that's the thing, though, is that I'm thinking of, like, Bell's, what wheat, American wheat, that's like, I can't even think of any freaking breweries or anything like that, oh, I don't know how the music went off.
Yeah, like.
I don't understand this.
Wait a minute, I mean, if he's saying it's Bell's, then.
So it's not, but again, it's going to be a new Bell's beer.
Right.
What is new from Bell's? Because this was created on
this
September.
Beer. Added, yeah.
There was one that came from, but it was a sour.
This ain't a sour.
No, because this is a sour. Because there was one that was called like Larry's Latest Sour or some shit like that.
I was going to say, I'd be I'd be giving Larry a call and being like, this, what are you talking about for?
Much less, I didn't even think you were able to get it a growler anyway. So that pretty much kind of eliminated that.
Man.
The only other thing that they... Well, the only other thing they came out with, but that's a coffee pale ale.
The Arabica... Coffee pale Arabica Dabra?
Yeah, that one.
Is that a thing?
Is that a Steve Miller song?
This one?
Abracadabra.
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe that is.
Yeah, this
I do believe that is.
Yeah, I've got...
No, not what you're hearing, Matt.
You say, that reminds me of the one... The Amazing Bert Wonderstone.
Those are
Abra, Cadabra.
That there is the beats of Soul Percussion. So shout out to show. So shout out to Eric.
All right. So
I was
going
to say, is this free to you?
Can we call a friend? Do we get?
He is okayed with
this.
Us,
is so a Bell's right. Beer. I will give you that. You name the brewery.
That's the thing though. Is I don't know what like I was looking at Bell's list and the only thing is that sour, but it's not. Why
you
would
can
someone
use
describe
any
it?
Larry's best sour, whatever you call it.
I mean, outside of anything else, if they came out new, you basically would have had to been there because they just did the Roll Out the Barrel Festival 2 weeks ago.
We'll have a barrel of fun.
Sorry.
And it was a whole bunch of like Traverse City whiskey barrel age things that they did. I got nothing.
I really have. Absolutely. So we know it's a wheat ale. We know it's a Bell's beer. We know it's a new Bell's beer. I don't even know what, like, at this point, I can't even think of, any beer. Like, I'm looking at some of the lists, and I see one, and I'm assuming...
Literally, if you were to Google the words New Bell's Wheat Ale, it would be 1, 2, 3 from the top, or 4 from the top.
Regardless, it's drinkable.
Yeah, it's very drinkable.
It's a very drinkable beer.
But it's not... So I'm going to ask a question because we have a third one.
Sure.
It's not Bell's Winter White.
It is not, but clearly it's not.
Oh, yeah, because it's not a new beer. I was waiting for it to be the Bell's Winter White 2017, which is why it was added to beer.
Well, they did change the recipe. You saw that, right?
Yes, I did.
This is actually Bell's Titania.
Titania.
T-I-T-A-N-I-A. So if they're going to call it Titania, Titiana, whatever they want to call it.
Titania. I see Titania. It. Pale wheat ale, American. It's on Untappd.
Titania?
You can get it at Compo Corner Meat Market and Growler Station.
You can also get it at Wilson's right across the street. Anywhere else you can probably get it
is Wilson's?
Yeah, you were there. You literally walked past this ale.
No, I was
just that.
Wow.
It's Oberon's other half is our take on Hop Forward American Wheat Ale.
I was like,
we can pour some more. I want some more of that.
Yeah, you drink it. It's good.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. This the thing I miss most about being a kid is trick or treating. What was your favorite candy in your pillow sack?
Favorite candy?
Because I remember when I would come home, I would put out the pillow. I would drop the pillowcase right on the table, and I would sort through it. Because there were razor blades in the apples.
and watch out for those Ziploc bags.
But also because I didn't want Smarties or anything with almonds. So what was your favorite thing to get in your Halloween candy?
Obviously, mine was the Bitto honey because,
they stopped making that in the 60s or something?
That shit will take your cavities out.
What
man,
are the random candies in the black and orange wrapper?
No.
AIDS?
No, you know what? You all know what I'm talking about. But the
black wrapper, right?
Or the orange one.
Nobody knows the origin of it. Yeah.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but oh my God.
I don't know where you would ever buy that. Some lady had it in her basement.
Mounds.
Give it to you. It's literally from the Salem Witch Trials.
You like Mounds?
Mounds and Reese's Pieces. I like.
I was a Three Musketeers kid when I was a younger kid.
Ken liked the Zero bars when he get those chocolate the raisins.
Oh, the Zeros are nice. Yeah.
That's the thing is that when I was a kid, I had more of a sweet tooth. Now I just don't at all. I would be more like the furthest I'd want my candy of choice. Well, I love Starburst jelly beans. That's the only candy I'll eat. But other than that, it's the Mentos. That's all I eat is Mentos.
For me,
it's the sweetest thing I want.
To this day, all I ever want to eat are dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
I'm with you.
If it's Hershey's, where I had a Dove dark chocolate the other day.
Dove, yeah.
Just.
No.
See, I
had two of them yesterday.
They melt in my mouth and I'm like.
Yes.
Amazing.
Dark chocolate.
Growing up,
let's crack open one more. Have we opened all the beer choices?
We have. We just have PBS.
Just open something else.
Yeah. PBS for sure.
Rob, your candy of choice.
Mine was kind of split. I think basically I love Nestle Crunch, but probably one of my favorites growing up was always the Hershey Special Dark.
Oh yes.
Oh, that's a great one.
Those.
Yes, I agree.
Oh,
totally.
My God. Those were so damn good. And
those
just
were awesome.
It's for some reason, with all my friends were like, oh, it's too bitter. It's like, no, dude, no. If you don't want it, just bring it over. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. They didn't like
that's
it.
Because I remember
chocolate. Wow.
That was
my,
that was the best trade bait because you remember your parents would get those big Hershey bags and it would be like,
yep.
Hershey's milk chocolate. Then it would be crackle.
Yep.
And then
crackle.
The payday.
Dark chocolate. Special
and the
dark
special
chocolate.
Dark.
Yes.
And then what happened is, I love the special dark. You like the special dark. And you get the crackles, the paydays. I'll trade you
for
special darks.
My friends would take those paydays all day. It was like, yeah, dude, we'll switch. I was like, fine. I have no problem with that at all.
But remember, the best thing about Halloween is the day after Halloween where Jimmy Kimmel comes out with the I ate your Halloween candy.
Yeah,
and that would be hilarious. All right. It's kind of inconsequential. Last question.
You're inconsequential.
Your mom's inconsequential.
Ooh.
The Dodgers wrapped up the NL yesterday. It is nothing in Houston.
Is that Verlander's?
He's throwing a three-hit shutout, nice. Although the Astros are being no-hit at the moment.
Right.
Hopefully that's what they need. Who's going to win the World Series? The Astros, the Yankees, or the Dodgers?
I want the Astros to win. I want JV to get
Kershaw was a friend of Matt Stafford?
Clayton Kershaw?
They only talk about that every 5 minutes. It's ridiculous. I want none of these teams.
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
I did not.
You have to live under a rock.
Well, all right, so
I didn't know. I thought
they talk about it every Lions
every time there's
game.
A Lions game.
Every fucking time. I live in Arizona. I hear about this. Well, Clayton Kershaw and
they have shown the same. Fifth grade baseball photo for
Stafford,
literally 9 years.
That's probably Stafford just, was his pitcher.
Clayton Kershaw was the receiver for Matt Stafford, and Matt Stafford was the catcher for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. All the time. How are you not here?
I don't know.
I want to say I'm gonna tag you in like an Al Michaels montage of Clayton.
Hold on. Go ahead.
I don't know. I got a buddy from he actually was a punter for Georgia, and he's a buddy with Matt Stafford. See, he's a cool cat. He's a film guy, beer guy, cool guy. He works for BMI, music guy, I guess. But anyways, when you're talking Matt Stafford, I mean, hey, when is he going to produce for us?
The line. Oh, stop.
Oh. Remember, hold on.
You're on the wrong show for that one.
Matt Stafford was there. Remember when, like, the overpass of that sign fell on Southfield and Matt Stafford happened to be there? He was there for everyone.
And he was there. He was there helping people out.
Matt Stafford is like a ticket taker at the AMC. The only thing stopping the masses from Matt Stafford are the turnstiles that got him. Come in.
See, and apparently with the amount that they mentioned that friendship, it feels like Vegas should have, like, the over-under that they had.
The over-under, how many times they mentioned it.
When they had the Super Bowl with the Ravens and the Niners, when the Harbaughs, when they had the over-under of how many times you would see, you know, John and Jim on camera.
How many times did we call it the Harbaugh?
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I guess for me, as far as winning, I mean, as much I want JV to get a ring. I really do.
I do, too.
He deserves one. And, I mean, it's awesome that he actually has another shot.
Remember those commercials, the perfect game commercials, where it's him trying to sneak into the perfect game trailer where, like, only perfect game pitchers can come in?
Was it Randy Johnson who kicked him out?
Yeah. Or, no, he dressed up as Randy Johnson. Yeah. He tried to be Randy Johnson, and somebody kicked him out.
And Verlander said, what? Was it two or three?
Two no-nos.
He's had two shots.
Two no-nos.
With not the no-hitters.
You mean he's
part of
the World Series twice?
Yeah, he's had two shots.
06 and one other 12. One. And 12.
Yeah. God, but, we watched the end of that 06 one.
But 12.
Oh, that was at Charlie's. Because me and Jason Marine went to game one of that.
2012 was when he let Pablo Sandoval hit three home runs off of him.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, against
that one,
San Francisco. Yeah.
I guess my problem right now is that Dodgers are just too damn hot. And it just feels like no matter
what. Well, they're going to cool up. They got at least 6 days.
I know, they got 6 days. So it's like, we'll see what happens in these 6 days.
Just a real quick reminder for the who's going to win the NCAA / in the Super Bowl, Rob had Bama and Clemson. Bama still looks good. Dallas and the Raiders. Dallas, not so much. Ken, you said FSU and Bama. And then the Texans and the Seahawks. I don't know. You might have been really drunk that night.
Wait, Dan,
you said Ohio State versus Bama. That could still work out.
So I'm
versus the Panthers. They could both, you know, do a about face.
Panthers are doing good. So are
Willy Wonka said Bama and Washington.
Who's Willy Wonka?
He's referring to Nick.
Yeah. Reverting to
and
Nick.
Then he said it would be Atlanta, New England in the Super Bowl, which actually they play this Sunday on Sunday Football. I said Oklahoma State, Michigan. Michigan's clearly not going to be anywhere near wherever that bowl game is. Oklahoma State. On
so
top.
Is Nick an Oompa Loompa? So you refer to him as Willy Wonka?
That's where he went. Yeah.
And then my hopes got dashed because I did pick the Chiefs, but also picked the Packers to face them.
That's what we get for
Packers. Aren't out of don't count
the Brent Hundley Packers.
Oh, hey, that dude's gonna throw for two touchdowns and rush for 60 yards.
Today or tomorrow?
On Sunday.
All right.
Tomorrow.
See.
Saturday.
He might just show up at the UCLA.
So River Rouge Brewing, where can they find you? We're on reality and we're on the interwebs.
Well, we're on Facebook. We're on the net. We're over in Royal Oak on 406 East 4th Street. We tend to be like very in the moment. We're in Michigan here, Detroit area.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So they can find you on Facebook. Are you guys on Twitter? Are you guys on Instagram?
You on Tout?
Tout.
What's
wow.
Tout, man?
You don't want to know.
I don't know. I'm
it's the failed Vine.
I would say say
Vine
no.
Failed.
No, we're not on Tout.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, right now we're just on Facebook. We need to be on Instagram. We need to be more out there in the web. But, you know, hey, right now we're with you guys, man.
Hey.
Aw. Oh, that was kind of sweet. That's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft, episode 105. Eddie, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for
Cheers,
sharing.
Thanks, guys.
The beers, all of these were delicious.
Very good.
We
thank
are going to finish the rest before we head out. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Better on Draft, Twitter, Better on Draft, Instagram, Better on Draft, as well as YouTube, Better on Draft.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on Twitch, BOD Podcast, and Untapped BOD Podcast, BODPODCAST. That's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft once again, episode 105.
In the books.
In the books, yes.
106 coming to you in 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yes. We will be off next week for the Fall Beer Festival. Go check it out. Tickets still available.
Scavenger Hunt coming on Monday.
Scavenger Hunt coming on Monday.
I can't wait.
Drink.
I think there's subliminal messages from Eddie right now. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's...
Drink.
Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Subscribe.
Drink.